Well, as promised, next on KCRW, we take you to the Village Studios for a live session. We are pleased to welcome Iron and Wine. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Jason. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you, Sam?
I'm all right.
Excellent, man. Thank you for coming through and taking the time.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
How's everything going?
We're good. We're in a beautiful studio at the moment with lots of history, which is fun.
Yes, very nice. Special occasions, we head over to the Village.
Yeah. Or too big a band to fit in your office.
That's right. It is a full house today, isn't it?
Yeah. We got a lot of fun players to have a ball with.
I think I counted 11 people on stage last night.
Oh, were you there? Oh, that's great. I lost track, so it's good that you were keeping count for me.
Now, we've never met, you know, so I barely know you besides the music, of course, but you seem to be a joyful spirit.
Oh, well, you know, you try to be.
You are the glad man singing.
On my better days, yeah.
It was interesting last night. You really kind of ease into things. You know, a lot of bands, when they come out with a new album, they play that album from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you spent time with older material, and then, you know, ultimately you invited the full band of 11 musicians on stage. But
yeah,
it was interesting.
We try to give it a good range and make a show out of it where you don't just play the same kind of music all night. And also, you know, when you put out a new record, you should expect, you know, it takes people a little while to get used to the new record or get, you know, familiar with it. So, you know, you play the songs that they know and you play new songs and you just mix it up.
Do you, in your mind, expect that this will take a little getting used to for your fans?
I assume so. I mean, I think, you know, any new record for people, you know, it takes them a while to absorb. But I think you mean this one's rather different than the last few records. I mean, I feel like, you know, it kind of picks up where the last record left off and goes just a little bit further. But, you know, if someone had checked out for a little while, they might be a little jarred.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. You even were adjusting to, you were saying you're not used to doing a roll call.
Oh, yeah.
On stage because, you know, usually not quite as many people.
That's true.
Let's get into your first set, and if I could quote your catchphrase from last night, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. You never know. Thanks for having us, Jason.
Iron and Wine, live on KCRW.
Your window pane.
go. Here we go. This next song is called Summer in Savannah.
Finger had a mind of its own, and the dog that we lost keeps coming home. And now my hemp is hanging around a soda machine, and the birds don't move in the live oak trees. Pounding on the table, Papa said I would learn that you take what you get and you give what you earn. And then he said you reap just what you sow. So I'm gonna take my White House, paint it gold. Summer in Savannah, where the breeze never blows, but you're laid on my lap and you're wearing my clothes. Mama told me lately she was praying for you, so don't hit me just 'cause you're the best I can do. Cursing at a color TV, and the gaslight swirls with June bug wings. Pounding on the table, Papa said I would learn that you take what you get and you give what you earn. And then he said you reap just what you sow. So I'm gonna take my White House, paint it.
This next song is called Half Moon. It's a little bit of a change of pace. Especially because I haven't plugged the guitar in.
I wait beside you on the floor.
Iron and Wine, live on KCRW. The new album, Kiss Each Other Clean, a couple shows sold out at the Wiltern, one down, one to go, and we do have tickets a little later for this sold-out show, which features the Low Anthem opening tonight, then headed off to Radio City Music Hall, and then Europe after that. Feels like you're off to a strong start on this record.
It was a busy start, that's for sure, Jason. Yeah, yeah.
Indeed, indeed. Well, it seemed like you were having fun last night as well. You seemed to enjoy interacting with the audience and just being out there.
You should have a good time. You know, music's supposed to be fun, right? So, we try to have a good time playing. We try to have a good time with the audience. You know, we treat it seriously, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with having serious fun.
I agree. Well, just in preparation for our conversation, I was looking at some of the press that has been coming out. Very positive reviews, which is great to see. But I found it interesting how many references there were to painting and to the visual arts. To quote you in the LA Times article written by Chris Martins, with actually a great photograph by my friend Piper Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, Piper's a great photographer.
And you're pictured there with a giant a bear. And do you know this photograph?
I do remember me there. We were playing a show in the Midwest, and we ran across a taxidermy place. It seemed like a good idea. We've got peacocks and lions. They had all kinds of stuff, lions and bears. There's a lot of nature imagery in the lyrics, so it was a fun little photo shoot.
Well, the quote that I noticed in this LA Times article was you said, every track you make is a mark, and you can use the eraser or you can draw more.
Yeah.
Also, someone had, a musician you work with, had described the process that you know, you helped to instruct by saying, you know, to paint musical shapes. So I wanted to ask you as sort of a jumping off point for our conversation is just the whole visual and painting aspect compared to songwriting, and, you know, how close are those things? Because your background is, in fact, you studied art and you are a painter.
Some days. I studied art and then went to film school. So, yeah, I have a background in sort of a visual style of communication. And so, yeah, I think it carries over into the songwriting, you know, rather than trying to explain how you feel about yourself or some subject. You know, you treat them like visual poems. You suggest interactions with different objects or things that happen or people, and then, you know, color them with enough of a storyline to, you know, draw you into it. And then, you see what you happen. I mean, you know, rarely do you have like an agenda going into it. You sort of like we said, make some marks and then react to what you're doing. It's more about the creative process than what you actually end up with, to be honest.
It's more about the process.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're serious about your art in whatever discipline you're talking about, you know, you dive into it. You know, who knows where we're going to end up, but let's make the most of the process and be open to whatever might come along.
Are you into discussing the meaning of songs after the fact, or do you prefer to just leave it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, you know, they're not essays, and so the better songs have several meanings, and the other ones don't have a meaning at all. To be, but you know, like I said, they're not a thesis or a paper, like an argument on a certain point. You know, they're poems, and so they exist in that way. You know, they're that's why poems exist, because you know they can't be expressed in another way. But you know, you can take a stab if you if you're curious about one. See what I can do.
Well, I mean, I certainly know what I took away from listening to the album through over the past few days. I could, you know, offer my humble.
Go for it, man.
Well, I had the sense that, you know, with a view of the world, this sort of rich tapestry of humanity, there is always a difficulty with the inevitability of things that you can't control, like human nature and the passing of time and our own inadequacies and the judgment of others. But despite all of that, you still have hope, and you are, you know, a glad man singing, and the truth comes toward the light. And to quote the lyric from the final song, you know, we are forever becoming. We are, you know, we're essentially evolving as people, like children. And we will become the rising sun.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Jason. You know, it's like you said, there's several things going on at one time. It doesn't, you know, necessarily have to be just about one sentiment. You can, because life is like that. Life is complex. You feel many things at one time. There's always both sides of the coin going on at the same time. And so, you know, we're not afraid to show that in songs and make it, you know, not necessarily confusing or obtuse, but, you know, complex and not necessarily easily definable.
When it comes to building a sound or marrying the a sound, or especially with this album, an arrangement for a song, what is your process? Do you start by writing the lyric in its entirety and then think about the musicality?
Well, for the most part, yeah, it's just me, you know, fooling around with the guitar and finding a vocal melody and then rapping lyrics around that. And then, yeah, you have a choice then as, you know, as far as what kind of clothes you want to put on it. And, you know, different clothes say different things about a set of lyrics. It's fun to test the, you know, elasticity of a set of lyrics and see how far you can push it, or, you know, see what contradictory kind of arrangements say about the tune. You know, it's fun to take a, like we did in the show last night, you take songs that were originally started as a real sparse affair and beef them up with a more complex arrangement and see, you know, what that says about what the lyrics are saying. And then vice versa. Also, you know, take a song that is under, you know, you normally understand in sort of a bombast, and then strip it down and see what's left. So yeah, it's just, you kind of stay open. You try to stay open to what ideas might come about. You try everything. You try as many different arrangements as you possibly can and see which ones stick.
Tell us a little more about the process of recording this album, who you worked with, and where you recorded.
Oh, well, we started in Chicago at a studio called Engine Studios with my friend and producer Brian Deck. The last record, the Shepherd's Dog record, as proud as I am of it, felt, you know, there was a click track element to it because we did it all at my house and like track by track. And I wanted to resolve that and play, you know, I had a really fun band at the time and wanted to, you know, use them in the studio. So we went and, to the studio and tracked all the rhythm section stuff live, and then I would take it home and make marks, you know, start overdubbing at home, and then bring that back to the studio, and then we would react to what I had done at home and erase and make more marks and then take it back home. And then, you know, we did that back and forth for about 9 months. Not consistently and not the whole time, but, you know, we would work for a week and then take a month off, work for 2 weeks, and then take 2 weeks off, work for a week, and take 3 months, you know, just kind of life goes on. And so you just sort of, it's nice to make some music and then actually have time to go back and consider what you've done and adjust, rather than it just be a document of what you did in that week. Or at least that's how I like to approach it.
Has the experience of working on more complex arrangements made you think about doing different arrangements for older, sparser material?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've been doing that at concerts since the beginning, really. And so, yeah, it's just kind of carrying that creative process from the studio to the stage. I learned pretty quickly in doing shows that if I was going to stay engaged in the tunes, I had to do something. You had to change them around, you know, because as people we change over time. I don't see why the song should stay the same, you know. You know, so yeah, we've definitely taken a lot of liberties over the years, you know, just to stay honest with the audience, to be frank.
Well, the good news is we have tickets for the show sold out tonight at the Wiltern. You have the Low Anthem, another great band, opening for you. Laura Marling was terrific last night.
Wasn't she good?
Yeah. I mean, she's got a vibe, that lady.
She definitely does, among other things.
And then you're off to New York and then Europe. So, yes, as you mentioned, it's a busy time. We're speaking with Sam Beam from Iron and Wine. The new album is Kiss Each Other Clean. And we're going to give away these tickets in a few minutes following your second set this morning. So, again, it's a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for coming through KCRW. And take it away.
Thanks, Jason. This next song is an older song. It's called In My Lady's House. Everybody ready? I think everybody had fallen asleep while we were talking.
You are to me.
Right, this next song is called He Lays in the Rains. It's another older song. Nice work, everybody. Their old song called Boy with a Coin. You guys ready? You wanna count it off, Jeb? Thank you.
lost in the sea. Walk to a town that all of us burn when God left the ground to circle the world.
Next song is called Me and Lazarus. It's a new tune. So like Jason said, we'll see what happens. Everybody ready? All right.
Sign and Wine on KCRW.
Hey,
okay.
Hey,
Sam, yeah, sorry to interrupt there.
It's all right. I can't see you, so How you doing? How
I'm
you doing?
Good, man. I just I want to also invite you to introduce the band, but okay. I want to make these CDs and tickets available real quick, so let me get that out of the way. Tonight, January 26th, KCRW presents Iron and Wine, sold out at the Wiltern. We have 5 autographed copies of Kiss Each Other Clean and 5 pairs of tickets for our members to see Iron and Wine. The Low Anthem will open the show, so get there early. If you have not won a giveaway from us in the past 90 days, give us a call, 877-600-KCRW. That's 877-600-5279. These CDs and tickets available to our current members only. First come, first served basis. They're non-transferable. All right. Well, back to the village now. So I think we have time for one more.
Yeah, let's do another one, Jason.
Okay. And if you want to just give a shout and tell us who's in the room with you.
Oh, yeah, let's do. Beside me, I got my incredible bass player, Matthew Lux. An incredible horn section that consists of Stuart Bogie, Elliot. I don't know what your last name, Elliot.
Bergman.
Elliot Bergman and Justin
Walter.
Justin Walter. Incredible. And my best friend DJ Baggy Pants, Jim Becker, on the mandolin, guitar, and whatnots. My good friend Nick Luca on the keyboard. Say hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
All right. Jerry Garcia is in the back on the drums. This is Benny Mozzarella. Benny Mozzarella is my good friend, banging on everything known to man. And in the booth, in the drums, is Joe Adamick, Vladimir the Impaler. And then I also have my good friends Rosie Thomas and Marquetta. Marquetta Swell Season. I don't even know. What's your last name?
Erglova.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, Marquetta Erglova.
You got all kinds of fun people.
Yeah.
You know, we just like to have a good time, good friends, and good times.
Well, we appreciate you assembling.
Well, thanks for having us, Jason. It's been a real treat.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we try and get one more in, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks so much.
Hopefully we can see you again real soon.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. It's Iron and Wine live on KCRW.
Thanks, Jason. This song is called Naked As We Came.
Says, wake up, it's no use pretending. I'll keep stealing, breathing her. Birds are leaving over autumn's ending. One of us will die inside these arms, eyes wide open. Darling, don't you waste me in the grass.